Collaboration isn't just a hallmark of building community. It's also a hallmark of art. The ability to bring people together to facilitate a common mission while equipped with different gifts is tedious work. While some run from that tedium of organizing and promoting, others run towards it. Super cool, awesome music studios, or SCAMs as they are commonly referred to, do just that as they bring a music festival to Tallahassee and the culture that will support it. Hey everybody, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like always, we have an incredible guest. But these guests come equipped with something else that's just as incredible as they are. I am joined with Justin Moore, the engineer of SCAMs, Alex O'Connell, the creative director of SCAMs, and Robert Otway, performer and member of SCAMs. Thank you guys all for joining me. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So let's jump right into this thing. Before we get into the meat and the bones and the special accoutrement that you guys bring with us today, let's talk about, for people at home that don't know, tell them about SCAMs. Tell us a little about SCAMs.
SCAMs stands for Super Cool Awesome Music Services. It is our company, Justin and I's. We're co-owners. Started out with the idea that we should be recording music, Super Cool Awesome Music Studio. The acronym has come in handy, being pretty versatile, and now is music studio, movie studio, music services. In the near future, hopefully, music space. We are locally based here in Tallahassee. We have a lot of regional ties. We love to promote lots of different kinds of music and are trying to imprint on the Tallahassee scene and the regional scene here, get some more build going for the panhandle as far as music and art and culture goes.
You know, you brought up a great point. You used the word versatile. Now, you know, I have worked with you guys in the periphery in the past, and in the future we will do more. I have always kind of seen you guys as an aggregate, a collective of sorts. You know, if you go to something that SCAMs is putting on, it really is an assault on the senses. You got music and you got, you ever seen a Mad Max Thunderdome when they first ride in? That's what it looks like. There's people hanging from the ceilings. There's people playing beautiful music. There's people walking around with cameras. There's people walking around doing wardrobe stuff. Is this type of collective energy something that you revert from because as artists you want to do things individually, or is it something that you lean into because you understand the power of people?
It's something that I think we definitely lean into.
Absolutely.
Because it is just, at the end of the day, like, it takes a bunch of work and logistics to put on these events, but really it's just an opportunity for everybody to hang out. People that we know, people that we don't know, people that we don't know, but they know each other, and... Yeah, just
what you just described was scene building. And, you know, you guys are second generation hipsters. I'm a first generation hipster. And building scene is really all that goes into the good work. Because if you build a scene, you know, that's kind of like a colloquial word for community. And out of community, so many different flowers grow. And so that's a beautiful garden for you guys to be planting into. But you bring some good news with you today. And we're going to talk about the Noise Feast. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. What is the Noise Feast?
Noise Feast is now in its third year, so we've officially made it from the baby stage to the toddler stage, and Noise Feast is walking on its own two legs now. Noise Feast was actually the, I would say, inception of SCAMs. It was the first large project that Justin and I worked on together. Robert was a big help and has continued to be as well, more on the community and collective action side. Noise Feast stemmed out of me being frustrated that I had to go to Miami to go see the International Noise Conference and that nothing like that was happening around here. So we wanted to do something that had that communal ethos, brought in crazy music and art. And it's the Noise Feast because it's right before Thanksgiving every year. A lot of folks may have complicated relationships with their biological family or their idea of a holiday and how that's traditionally supposed to be spent. So this is a little bit of a precursor or alternative for folks to just come and gather and in a really judgment-free zone. Very emphasis on no judgment, because you see crazy stuff. And you see stuff that from people that have never performed before, or stuff that literally cannot be viewed in a different context. Some may say, I think you said assault on the senses. Absolutely. Earlier. So there's some of that, but it ranges the gamut from harsh noise to ambient music to improv theater. This year we have some dance and movement-based acts. We have a belly dancing performance. We have bands all across the gamut. So there's something for everybody at Noise Feast, and that, again, reinforces the communal aspect of it.
As an art and culture guy, I always like, you know, the most interesting thing about people's pets to me are their names, not even what type of animal it is. I like to know what a person names something. It kind of gives you a little peek inside of their mind window. And so when I heard Noise Feast, I thought that it was an incredible title, not only because there's kind of like a play on the word festival in there, but I thought, ironically, it was, you know, to come in and to eat the sound. Mm-hmm. To know that it is less ironic 2 days ago would have upset me, but the way that you explain that, mm-hmm. that actually it's not as ironic, because some of it is actually banking on the fact that people might not have something to do over the holidays, might not want to do that, might be looking for community in another way. Mm-hmm. And since food is associated with this holiday, you come and eat some sounds for the holidays. I love that. I really do appreciate you guys. I got a question for you, specifically, Robert, since we're bringing up Noise Feast and all of its splendor. As I understand it, you are not only a member of SCAMS, but you will be a performer an artist at this year's venue. Not you specifically, because I don't want you to give away your bag of tricks, but what does it feel like to be involved in something like this? And I'm not talking about from your teammate perspective. I mean, from the artist perspective.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Noise Feast feels very communal. Like, I think the fact that it goes for so long and everybody that's involved is into, like, this strange, like, noise and experimental music, like, it kind of brings you together. You kind of end up with this shared experience with everybody staying up so late, doing this weird thing. And yeah, my first solo performance was actually at the previous year's Noise Feast. Mm-hmm. And it was still, to this day, my favorite performance that I've ever played and one of the best feeling sets that I've ever played. I'm excited to blur the line between, like, scaring people and making them want to dance.
I love it. So, you know, you brought up you guys just keep giving me perfect segues. I forget who it is, but there's a debate, but it's in a quote form. It says, the highest form of education is either expression or exposure. You guys are doing both. You're allowing people to express themselves, but you're also exposing people to different types of things. And in that vein, Justin, let's talk about some of the logistics of this festival for people that may be confused, or for people that may not know, or for people that are interested in coming. A lot of people think that it's multi-day. And even though it is multi-day, it's multi-day because these 36 hours will run concurrent.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So how is that going to work?
So it's 36 continuous hours. So it'll start on Friday, November 21st at 6 p.m. with the first venue being 621 Gallery. And so the chunks of time work, like, the first block is 6 p.m. to midnight at 621. Mm-hmm. And then it'll go from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. at the Bark. And we'll just move right from 621 to the Bark, mm-hmm. no stopping. And then from, like, 8:30 a.m. to noon the next day, now we're into Saturday, we'll open it up at VRcade, which is in Railroad Square. And then we'll go back to 621 for the 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. slot.
Everybody comes back to 621, brother.
Everybody comes back. And then we will go back to VRcade for the 8 to midnight slot. And then that'll be the part of the festival, because we also have a film block So between the hours of 8 p.m. to midnight on Saturday, the 22nd, we'll have like the electronic DJ portion of the festival happening at VRcade. And then we'll have our film blocks happening inside of 621 Gallery kind of at the same time so that people can mingle between the two, or if, you know, by it just gives like a sensory option. Maybe you want to sit and chill and watch films, or you want to go, you know, sure, rave. And then after that is over at midnight on Saturday, we'll go to the final block at the Bark, which will run again from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. And that will be the total 36 hours.
Let's pivot for a second. And let me ask you about the ambition of an outfit like you guys. Not the end game, but is there something that you want to do that you haven't done yet? Or is there something that you should be doing that you aren't doing? And I mean that in the highest of endeavors. I don't mean that as a tongue-in-cheek question.
Yeah. How we got to here with Noise Feast kind of like ties into that, because originally the previous two Noise Feasts were all held outside of the Tallahassee city limits in like these outdoor locations. And that was kind of our plan for this year, just because the thought process of being like continuous 24 hours and people wanting to be able to lay down, and it just the outdoor kind of was like the thing that was what we were looking at. That idea fell through, and we always had the plan B of like, we could just like ask our venues that we already work with all the time and see if they would be down to let us do that. And it was literally like the day of, we had a phone call with somebody and we were told like, okay, no, we're not gonna be able to use the outdoor space. And within an hour, we had what Noise Feast 3 now is settled and planned, and everybody like yourself and David at the Bark and Cap City and Nick, we had like five yeses in a row from people. And then it was like, okay, awesome. And it makes, now it's like so obvious that this is like the thing to do, because there are larger goals. Like there's the idea in the back of our heads to like set up and plan a true large scale, like week long city-based festival that's truly multi-venue, like incorporating like the IMAX theater and 926, just like literally all of the spaces in Tallahassee, and do something that is like a very much like do the festival that could have like the longevity of like, hey, it's having its 25th year anniversary and it's pulling in large scale national acts, like how South by Southwest started, or what's the festival in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Big Ears?
Yeah, like Big Ears, that starts off as these kind of like experimental leaning indie circuit type festivals, but also leans on educational aspects and inviting, you know, like, because Tallahassee's a college town, so utilizing that to its benefit to showcase, like, at least in my head, like what goes on in Tallahassee on an everyday basis that, you know, your blinders are up to, because you might not be a college student, or you might not be a musician, or you might not be the guy riding around fixing everybody's stuff for them. And then have a festival that highlights all of that in still a very like linear format where the schedule allots so that it could be an experience. And that idea exists so that something like Noise Feast can stay kind of like in a healthy spot of being cool.
Sure.
You know, you don't want, we don't want that to explode to be this like big giant
commercial monstrosity. You want it to keep its edge and its peculiarities.
But
yeah.
I do have the goal and the desire to touch on like the commercial area of things to see what impact we could have when we apply like the way we work and our thought processes to that, because like I disagree so heavily. I mean, part of the reason why we named the thing Scams in the first place is because like I take a lot of issue with the way some like large scale corporate festivals are ran, and I have thoughts and opinions on how to do something like that differently. And so that is like a long term.
I love that little background.
Yeah.
I mean, you.
Yeah, it's like a wink.
Yeah, a wink. We're here to beat the system. There's your Easter egg. I hear you, man. I heard that. Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. I ask a lot of guests this question, but it's usually, it has to be the right type of guest. And you guys are, I think, are perfect for it, because you guys deal in so many different disciplines of art. I want to answer, and a quick answer from each one of you. What does art mean to you, or what is art to you?
You want to start that one, Robert?
Sure.
Throw him under the bus.
Art is like any kind of an expression of how you feel. Maybe not any, but I do feel that anything can be art. if you approach it that way or if you look at it that way. Art is everything to me.
It can be anything, but to you it's everything. I love mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Justin?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Robert on that one. Art is, I mean, the cheesy statement is just like art is life. And it's this like constant exchange of input and output and playing with it. And there are no rules despite what anybody says. And there's no box that you have to fit in despite mm-hmm. living inside of boxes and fitting into things.
I think that art, on top of what everybody else has said, it can be an extremely useful tool. I mean, we've all seen some great propaganda art, you know?
Sure.
It can be a political tool. It can be a community awareness tool. It can be a health education tool. I have a public health background, and I think that it is what you make it, you know, to be succinct, and it's really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you guys have been an absolute great interview. In closing out, I want to tell you guys something. I usually ask the guests to tell me something. I want to tell you guys something. And you could use it against me now that you know. I hope you don't, but it wouldn't matter because I'm still going to say yes. The reason that I always, over these months and years, have had a hard time saying no to you guys is because I was fortunate enough to come up building art and culture side by side with a guy by the name of Scott Bell. And I don't know if that rings a bell with any of you, but Cat Family Records meant a lot to this community, means a lot to this community. Mm-hmm. And it was like a sister organization to 621. And you guys just remind me, and you guys are so much cooler because you guys have more information than we had. Mm-hmm. But you guys remind me so much of that outfit. And I am just so glad to know that somebody is still doing this good work. And so in saying that, I will say Noise Feast is not just going to be an assault on the senses. It will also give you a full belly if you do it right. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you
so much for joining us at home for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.